Safe House Center in Washtenaw County provides shelter to women and children in need of protection. It serves those impacted by domestic violence and sexual abuse. There is rarely a time in any given year that the shelter isn't full to capacity. Over two-thirds of those residents are typically children, about 80% of which are 8 years old or younger. While the public discourse on domestic violence and sexual abuse is coming out of the shadows, it in a very meaningful way remains one of our dirty little secrets. The efforts to shed light on this subject matter and better educate all of us on what to do about it continue. In fact, that's why October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and you're listening to Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. My guest this morning has made it her life's work to help those in need and advance this community education endeavor. Barbara Neesmay is Executive Director at Safe House. Good morning, Barbara, and welcome back to WEMU.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, you know what? I assume the shelter is full up again as we speak.
Absolutely.
How many can you shelter at a given time?
We can shelter up to 50, but the reality is that we have 23 rooms, and we try to keep one household in each room. We have varying sized rooms, so that helps to accommodate larger families. But the reality is that it's usually around 40 people.
And I would assume that that doesn't even begin to touch the number of people who are actually in need here in Washtenaw County alone.
No, not at all.
Well, because of the intimate nature of domestic violence and the very personal nature of the stories we hear, I think it's sometimes overlooked that this is not just a crime between partners, but this is a costly crime to all of us as a community as a whole.
Absolutely. The impact on our local economy is high. The days of lost work because of domestic violence or people being sick or needing to use health care systems, it soars into the millions of dollars.
Yeah, I was reading the National Center Against Domestic Violence says the cost of intimate partner violence exceeds $5.8 billion a year. Now, that's $4.1 billion in direct medical care, as you were talking about. Almost 8 million days of paid work because of violence perpetrated against them by current or former husbands, boyfriends, and dates. It's a loss equivalent to more than 32,000 full-time jobs and almost 5.6 million days of household productivity. That's an economic impact of staggering.
Absolutely, and it's happening right here in Washtenaw County. I think people believe because we're one of the most stable counties in the state and that we are able to accommodate fluctuations and changes in the economy. That is not the case for survivors of domestic violence.
So, as we've just pointed out, the need to address this issue in a much more meaningful way, both right in the immediate crisis moment and beyond, in education endeavors and beyond, is absolutely crucial. And yet, funding for programs like those offered at Safe House Center are not only at risk, but at risk of going under and going under quickly.
Absolutely. What has happened at Safe House Center is people ask me all the time, how's the economy impacted domestic violence? And the reality is that it hasn't impacted at all, but it has impacted our ability to provide services. We've had four major things happen in the last several months that is impacting our current fiscal year that we're in that started October 1st.
Sequestration?
Sequestration was the first thing that happened. Secondly, a major federal funding source has shifted its priorities away from providing emergency shelter.
Housing and urban development.
Yes, exactly. Also, the cost of doing business has not gone down. It's actually gone up.
Sure.
And then other areas of funding are flat. So that has led into a major shift in how we are funded and that we are having to double our fundraising goal for this fiscal year, which is a very aggressive approach for us at this point.
What are the local community ramifications if you fail to meet those benchmark goals?
If we don't meet those goals, then we're not going to be able to provide the level of shelter and crisis intervention that the community has come to expect and we've been able to provide.
You are listening to Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and my guest this morning is Barbara Neesmay. Barbara is Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County. Well, if we take a broader look at the issue, how significant a role does drug and alcohol abuse play in the issue of domestic violence and sexual assault?
About 50% of the cases that are reported, there are drugs and alcohol present. Some people think that there's a causal relationship, and it's not necessarily causal. Some people think if drugs and alcohol are eliminated,
that person wouldn't be violent.
And that's not the case. What we have found is that they continue to use abuse as a way of achieving power and control. We want for people to be sober. We don't want drug and alcohol abuse to happen in our community. But what we do know is that they must also be held accountable for the abusive behavior.
Well, let's talk a little bit about accountability. I think we agree that an offender must be jailed for committing the crime. But it also seems to me we're not doing the right things to make sure it doesn't happen again. Until we invest in substance abuse treatment, educational programs on domestic violence, and actual rehabilitation, we're not going to make the slightest dent in recidivism rates in domestic violent cases. In fact, here in our community, we just had a man released from prison, and one of the first things he did was go and kill a female and in front of her 2 4-year-old sons.
Yes, exactly. We're heartbroken for her family, for Shander Turner's family. And in the end, holding people accountable for their abusive behavior over and over and over again, that doesn't always just mean law enforcement. Law enforcement is doing what they can to hold people accountable. It's their peers. It's people in the community saying, I believe that domestic violence and sexual assault are wrong, and I expect my friends and my family members to not commit that and to have those hard conversations saying, this is not okay. It needs to stop.
In the past decade or so, we've seen such major shifts in technology and communication. Much of our communication these days is online, and that includes the manner in which we conduct our dating and relationship lives. Has the internet become an issue in domestic and dating violence?
Absolutely. Protection orders and no contact orders also include social media, not using social media to reach out to the survivor. Also, it is a way of stalking and intimidating survivors. I remember talking to a woman a couple of years ago, and she had taken her car in for service and discovered that there was a GPS that was put inside the engine of her car, and he was able to know where she was at all times.
That's absolutely frightening.
Absolutely. I mean, and usually these items are marketed for parents and children, and what we have found is it's used at a disturbing rate by assailants. They're smart, they're cunning, and they're going to do everything that they can to power and control. And survivors deserve to live a life free from that.
Based on our conversation, it's hard to tell, but are we improving at all in combating domestic violence and sexual abuse?
I think that more and more people are agreeing that sexual assault and domestic violence are wrong. What I think we're struggling with is people willing to invest their time and their money in ending domestic violence and recognizing how the social cultural our society supports domestic violence and sexual assault. There's lots of discourse about music and how magazines portray women, and we haven't broken through that barrier yet that says women are treated as second-class citizens, and therefore that paves the way for domestic violence and sexual assault being okay.
Well, as we continue to have and advance these conversations, it's certainly no comfort to those who are enduring it right now, and there are certainly all too many. So moving forward, the first priority has to be, I would assume, raising more money to serve those in need.
Absolutely. We need our community to support us. That's the only way we're going to be able to stay in our communities if the local community says, I'm going to prioritize giving to Safe House Center.
And, of course, if you would like to find ways to invest in the services being offered by Safe House Center, I suggest you visit the Safe House Center's Facebook page or go to safehousecenter.org. Barbara, I'd like to thank you for your time, and we will keep up with you throughout the course of the year.
Thank you very much, David.
That is Barbara Neesmay, Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County. I'm David Fair, and this is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.